Hey everyone, welcome back to What's the Move podcast, where we navigate life and all it has to offer, from faith, friends, traveling, nutrition, and everything in between. Welcome back to episode 2, and I am joined by another wonderful and incredible special guest, and her name is Caroline Spears. Hi, Caroline.
Hello, guys. I'm so happy to be here.
We're so happy you are here. So, Caroline, I think we should give some background to who you are. So, give everyone a little spark notes of who you are and how we met and what you're up to now these days.
Yes. So I'm a senior at Texas A&M University, and Ansley and I actually met freshman year, so 4 years ago now, in our off-campus dorm called Callaway. And we had mutual friends from the very beginning. We rushed the same sorority. We were in the same flow. And so we became really quick friends just by being around each other a lot. And then we lived together sophomore year in our sorority house. We've lived together junior and senior year as well. So we've known each other for a really long time.
It's true. I joked around freshman year. I think I knew Caroline would be one of my best friends before she knew it, truly. But I joked around because we were in every single circle together, like our dorm, our sorority, our flow, like Caroline was saying. And I was like, man, God has us being best friends. Like, we're gonna be best friends. Like, I know this. And so it was really easy to become close to her. It worked out great. Also, I was intimidated by Caroline because she came into college with so many wonderful high school friends. So it took her a second to warm up to me, I think. But man, she was my rock freshman year. And I kind of went through it a little bit. We both did. Freshman year's hard. So Caroline was a really safe place for me, and still is, truly. And so, guys, Caroline's not a counselor by any means, but I think that she has that gift of just being able to sit and listen with people and give so much advice and wisdom. And so I'm thrilled she is here today. I also bragged on you in the last episode about how you started a Bible study at your workout place. Will you explain that?
Yes. So I've been going to the same gym since sophomore year, so a few years now, and just as a really different group of people than the friends in the circle that I'm normally in. And there are some college girls, but then there's also a lot of moms and a lot of older women that come to the gym. So it really is a big mix of a bunch of different people. And the woman who disciples me, Jenny, she also goes to the same gym. And so we kind of were just praying one day, and Jenny was like, Caroline, what if we started a Bible study? And I remember being really intimidated by that idea because I wasn't sure if that would be something that they would even be interested in there, if people would even come. But we just decided to step out in faith, and we started a Bible study that meets every Friday morning. And we have about 30 women that come every single Friday. And so it's been a huge gift and something that I would have never thought to do as a sophomore.
It's
just
awesome.
So cool where the Lord placed me, and have seen fruit of that 2 years later. So
it's so cool. Carol and I were on a walk the other day, and we were talking about how this is a really cool practice for post-grad, of we are going to be in really secular environments with our jobs and our gyms, and we're not going to be in this little protected bubble here at A&M. And so what a cool way to practice. Start living boldly for our faith. And so Caroline has just done this so well, guys, and has gotten to talk about Jesus with so many people that don't know him in the College Station area.
Yes.
So I just love getting to hear Caroline talk about that. Okay, so a question we get a lot is about our differences, because we are really different at core. But like on the outside, I feel like, no, even on the outside, we're kind of different.
We're different.
Yeah. And so Caroline, how would you say we are similar, and how are we different?
For differences, I think that I'm a little bit more of type A. I want to plan
for
things.
Sure.
And probably a little less flexible, which is something I admire a lot in Ansley, that she is so flexible and able to go with the flow. And you do like a plan.
Sometimes I'm stubborn.
But then sometimes you plan not to have a plan.
Yes.
Which I don't know what category that falls into. But Ansley is really good at just going with the flow of things. Of if someone says, hey, you want to do this? She says yes. And so I really, really admire the way that she says yes to a lot of fun things. And I think that you have a lot of fun called in race because of your ability to say yes to that, when I might be like, oh, but it's so late, or I'm so tired. So I'm trying to work on that as college kind of comes to a close, and I think I've grown in that. But we're different in that way. I think our sense of style is a little bit different.
I was gonna say,
although we do overlap.
We overlap with like the basic solids,
and we'll share dresses and pieces like that, but we have very different closets. This is very brown and
you can say grandma
gray.
It's a little
and mine is pink and white and bright colors and all of that. So
it's true. When we lived in the sorority house, it was so funny because we shared a closet, and my side was brown thrift store grandma clothing, and then Caroline is like straight from Free People, pink, white. I think that I've adapted a little bit more of that than I think. And so props to you for that. I do like being a little Free People girl in some moments.
That's true.
It's fun. Yeah, I think that's why we're such good friends, is because of how different we are, and because Caroline says the things that I need to hear, and my brain doesn't automatically think of them, and hers does, which is cool that she balances me out in that way.
So yeah, and I think even the way we give advice to friends, Ansley really plays devil's advocate often, which I think is really needed and really helpful, because my brain is gonna normally just be like, okay, that makes sense, and like go with their track of thinking. And I know that so many people have been like, I'm so glad Ansley challenged me in that way. And not saying that you agree or disagree, but just be like, well, have you thought about the other side of it? And I think that that's also really helpful.
That's kind of you. Well, Caroline, I don't know if you know this or if I told you, but today is actually What's the Move podcast first ever advice column. Wow. Hopefully we're gonna be having more, but we're gonna do a little Q&A. And so I picked out some top questions for us to talk through today. And so first one is, how do I find / build God glorifying friendships in college?
Okay, that is such a good question. I think that's something that a lot of freshmen coming in to college, especially at A&M, are really wanting to do and are wanting to find. And some people have great friends in high school and some people have not great friends in high school. And so they are coming into college wanting a fresh start and trying to figure out, how do I find friends that are fun, but then also love the Lord and align with my values and what I think? And so I don't know, Ansley, what you would say coming into freshman year, but I think we just like met a ton of people.
Yeah.
We met a lot of friends. We tried to join as many things as we could and meet as many people, which was great for freshman year. And then I think from there, we kind of had to learn that we can't keep up with 40 friends. And so we kind of had to shrink from there of like, okay, out of these 40 friends, who are the people that I enjoy being around the most, who challenge me the most, who seem to be running the same direction that I'm going, who do I overlap with? And then kind of narrowing it down a little bit from there, and not in an exclusive way, but in a way of like, I really want to go deep with these people. And I think that throughout college, we've kind of found that that just continues until senior year, where we probably have less friends now than we had freshman year, but we have great friends and deep friendships. And I think we have some friends that aren't believers too, which is so good. And so I don't think you should put yourself in a silo of only surrounding yourself with people who know Jesus, because then we can't share the gospel. And so it's important to have both, but your people should be people who love the Lord.
For sure. I love what you just said. And in our flow, our freshman year, they told us that you are a summary of your five closest people. And that really struck me, because I'm like, man, like, who are my five closest people? And like, am I challenged by them? Am I being grown by them? And it just really is true. Like, you start to pick up on who you're around. And like, I want to be surrounded by people who are better than me and like who are going to point me towards the Lord. And so I think also, no one really told me that your circle is going to get smaller in college. And that kind of devastated me at first. And I was like, why am I losing friends? Like, what's happening? Yeah, but I'm like, no, like, okay, we're going to meet a lot of people freshman year. Praise God for new people getting to hear new stories and things. And then one, like, giving yourself patience to meet those close friends.
Yes.
It is okay that your circle is going to get smaller and smaller. I really did learn in college that friendships are seasonal. Like, they are. And so there's people that I'm meant to be close with at some time that like maybe I won't be as close with in another time. And that makes me so sad. But in reality, that's a good thing. And like, we need different people for different times. And so it is okay that like right now, my closest people in my life are my college roommates. And next year, I'm probably maybe really, really close with my new roommates, still close with my college roommates, but like seasonally, the people that I'm going to for in the moment things are going to be the people that I'm surrounded by.
No, I totally agree. I think that you have to give yourself grace, give other people grace too. I've had a few classes with friends, so I see them every single day for an entire semester. And so I'm going to automatically be a little bit closer to those friends. And then when I don't have a class with them, I still love them and they're still great friends, but by proximity, I'm not going to be as close with them.
For sure. Also, I mean, this is so simple, but I really wish someone sat me down and was like, Ansley, you have to be vulnerable in college. And like, you have to let people in on the hard things. And it took me a full semester to get there and let people in on the hard things. And that made first semester so much harder, because I had all these baggage and things from high school and was not telling anyone. And so no one knew these parts about me and I couldn't talk about these things with people. And so over winter break, I was just struggling and didn't feel known. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not letting people in. And so I'm not going to feel known until I do. And it was cool, because coming back second semester, when I started like sharing parts of my story and things, other people could relate and I was not alone by any means. And I'm like, man, if I was just vulnerable and opened up a little sooner, that would have led to so many deeper friendships at the beginning of college. And so it's hard, and we think we're going to be judged and we think people are going to view us differently, but it's so needed to be vulnerable and honest. And like, truthfully, guys, I was listening to another podcast today, and like, when we aren't sharing all parts of our story, like, it is negating the power of the cross, because he sets us free. Like, he died for our sin on the cross and rose from the grave, and that sets us free. And so when we are not sharing all parts of our story, like, that is negating his power on the cross. And so how cool that his blood covers us and every single part of us. And so we can walk in freedom when we talk about things with people, because we have been set free.
That is so good. I think that's such a good reminder of anytime a friend, either freshman year or now even, comes to me and shares something hard, I never once view that as a weakness. It's always an encouragement to me, because chances are either one, I'm struggling with the same thing, or two, I'm also struggling with something else. And the fact that they're having a a hard time is so relatable to me, because I'm like, oh, I'm not the only one that feels this way. And right now that looks a lot like even just, you know, anxiety surrounding leaving college and change of really thought I was the only one dealing with that, and then told a few friends and turns out they feel the exact same way and yeah. I'm not alone. And so I think that's a good reminder, and especially if you can start doing that when you first come to college, that's gonna set you up for success
for sure. Okay, well, staying on the friendship train a little bit, question two is, how do I handle conflict in a God glorifying way? I love this question.
This is a great question. So first of all, you're going to have conflict.
It's not if it happens, it's when it happens.
When it happens. And I did not have a ton of conflict growing up. I never had a ton of friendship drama in middle school or high school, and really not even in college, but I think I kind of thought I was immune to it for a little bit. I was like, well, I don't really get upset. People aren't upset with me. I'll be fine. There is still conflict that happens in college. Sometimes you find yourself in the conflict because you're a mediator. Sometimes you find yourself in the conflict because you hurt someone's feelings, or sometimes you're the one who got hurt. And so I've been in all three of those places in conflict, and there's a few things I've learned. And again, each situation is super unique, and so I don't want to say that you have to do this every time, but I've learned that listening before speaking is really, really important, and truly trying to understand the other person's point of view about something and trying to understand what they're saying, how they feel, and validate those feelings. And then second, I would say owning whatever percentage of the conflict that you had your part in. So for example, let's say someone hurt you. They probably take up 98% of that conflict, but there's probably a 2% part that you take up. So owning all of that 2%, 100% of the 2% that you had. And I think also just keeping in mind, what is the overall goal of this conflict? Is for restoration and that friendship and for unity in that friendship. And so remembering that is your purpose. It's not to win. It is not to be right. And I think that's really hard for me because I want to be right and I want to win. And so realizing, man, I don't want my friend to be a loser. That's not the goal in this, is for me to win and them to lose. And that doesn't feel good on either end. And so really remembering that it's not my goal to prove my point, to prove I was right, to show that I'm better, whatever that might look like, but truly to understand where they're coming from and then practically work through the conflict if there's anything to work through. And sometimes it's just forgiveness.
For sure.
And it's not that complicated. And then sometimes there's a deeper, like practically, what are you going to do different next time and things like that to work through. But conflict is hard.
It's hard. Yeah. It's not fun. But like there is a way that we can go about it that is honoring to the Lord. And I think conflict is just one of those things where there's so many opinions, and it's so important to go to scripture and be like, what does the Bible say about this? Caroline and I talk about this too, of like, God is for unity, and the enemy hates unity and wants to do everything he can to disrupt unity and harmony in any way. And so I love that Caroline said, like, it's not about being right. It's not about winning. And so posturing your heart before going into a conversation of being like, I don't care if I'm right. I don't care if this other person's right, but like, I desire unity and I desire harmony. And that is what I'm praying for going into this. And so it's one thing to say that, but it's another thing to believe and fully be okay of like, it's okay if I'm not right, and it's okay if I don't get an apology. I'm here for unity and working towards forgiveness. But yeah, Caroline has been someone I've gone to a lot when I don't know what to do with conflict. And she has this iceberg she talks about of, okay, there's iceberg conflict on top, but really,
what is the root of what's below?
Yes, like, why is this thing hurting my feelings? And more often than not, there is sin at the root of it. Yes. And there is sin of why I'm being hurt, whether that is a lot of time insecurity, truly. And so working through that and then being like, okay, what is fair for me to tell the other person? What do I need to work through on my own?
Yep.
And so, I mean, guys, it has taken me since after the conflict to get to this point, but truly, like Matthew 7:5 says, you hypocrite, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And I would just say, it is okay to go slowly about conflict. That is one thing I've learned. Like, I'm a fix it type person. And so when something comes up, I'm like, okay, let's get on this. Let's fix it fast. Man, it takes me a second to see the log in my own eye. It's there. It is always there. But if I'm trying to fix it fast, I always fail to see it in my eye. And I'm like, okay, if I just prayed and gave myself even a day, like not like a day to pray and be like, where's the log in my eye? Like, what is under this iceberg? Like, where's my sin in this? I would be able to approach these conversations with so much more grace and empathy. Because again, the goal is not to be right. It is for unity.
Yeah. That reminds me of something else that I've heard that has been helpful. It's kind of the 24-hour rule, which means, let's say that someone makes a comment to me that hurts my feelings and I want to say something right away, giving it 24 hours. And chances are you might forget about it, which means it wasn't worth bringing up in the first place. Or second, if you keep thinking about it and you can't let it go, then you're like, okay, wait, this really is important to me. I do need to say something about it. So sometimes, like Ansley said, giving it a little bit of time, letting yourself sit on it. And maybe you're just super tired that day and then you get a good night's rest and you wake up and you feel totally okay. Or you later find out that friend had a horrible day and there was a lot going on in their life that you're like, oh, that makes so much more sense. So sometimes a little bit of time and distance from the conflict is super helpful. And then the other thing I would say is not gossiping about that to anyone everyone else. And if you have an issue, going straight to the person and straight to the root of it instead of talking to 12 friends about that mm-hmm. person before you then go talk to them about the conflict. Because one, that's gossip, which is sin. And two, that's not helping build unity or build resolution towards that conflict.
Yeah, it's true. Good work, Carol. One of my camp directors always would tell us, if you're talking to even one other person about it, it's worth you bringing it up to the person because that's good. It meant enough to you for you to talk to someone else about it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we are running out of time today, which is such a bittersweet thing because I love that we could keep talking forever about this.
Truly.
Which means we need to do another episode.
Yes.
But sad that has to come to end. And so we're going to speed rocket through this last question, but what are products, things, hobbies you're loving right now? And then we'll sign off. Okay, Carol, you go first.
First thing would be Newly, which is a renting subscription. Newly. And I started doing it at the beginning of this year. And it has been so awesome because it gives me dresses for formals and date parties. And I rented my ski jacket from there. And for all these weddings we have going to, I'm going to get dresses for that. So Newly would be my number one. HTO is my second. They just built an HTO in College Station and they have happy hour and it's like $1. And so I think Ansley and I go at least three times a week to HTO. And then three would be probably, I just got a new vitamin C serum for my face and it was on sale and it's awesome.
That's awesome. Okay, guys, I've been loving, I just got these North Face slippers. They look like little sleeping bags on my feet.
Whoa.
They're kind of ugly, but I love them. So that's one. Second, I've been loving run walks. So you run a little bit when you get tired, just walk. And then finishing the run after that and giving myself grace when I get tired. And then the third thing I've been loving, this sounds crazy, guys, but I've been loving putting on makeup in the mornings. I'm usually anti-makeup, but I'm into makeup these days. It's been fun. Okay, well, everyone, we just wanted to say thank you so much for listening. This was a joy to record, and I'm just excited for what's to come. And so, Caroline, thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me on. This was so fun.
Of course. And so, thank you to everyone for listening, and we will see you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye.